Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 71, and I thought the Grand Canyon was man-made.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
I'm Blonick.
I'm Anvil.
And as you know, daylight savings time has commenced, or has it ended?
No, it's probably going to be ended by the people who see this on like Tuesday, but it will be by probably Sunday. So yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow will be all good, I guess, if you want to try to sleep in.
Yeah, an extra hour of sleep. The three of us have desperately needed at least just one extra hour of sleep.
No, I need 17.
I think the only issue is one of my friends says you'll never make up sleep or anything like that. It's just you're going to have to try to, you know, sleep in when you can and do whatever you can because you'll never get that sleep back.
Yeah, I've found that out the hard way. Like, I try to make up the sleep, and then I'd wind up waking up at 11 a.m., and then the next day I got to wake up at 6 in the morning, and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, it never works.
No, I've lost a ton of sleep over my last 3 years of work. And for those who watch this show, you know, on Ustream and stuff, you probably see me yawning quite a bit.
Yep. See these little droopy eyes that he has right here?
Yep.
And those aren't black eyes either, they're just, you know, tiredness.
Which is why I am pro-human hibernation.
Yeah, well, I mean, more or less, the one I wanted to get was actually, like, one of those enclosures so you could just sleep in it.
Hibernation chamber?
Yeah, you know, just a setup like that would be just absolutely, you know, better just to be able to seal yourself in a vacuum, more or less, and just be able to sleep. Or, the only problem I have is if you did it wrong, you'd fucking end up dead.
Yeah, but I would say more of like a chamber, to, you know, an underground chamber. Enough food, a hot, sexy, naked woman to have sex with on a daily basis.
Well, if your goal was to catch up on sleep, why would you want the naked woman? You'd never sleep.
Well, after you fuck so many times, you'd probably be like,
I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
Hey, I know you're a whore, Anvil, but even you must get tired from all the sexing.
Really, my issue was that sexing. The girl kept falling asleep, but it wasn't just because they were bored. It was because they... Never mind. They had a better chance of sleeping than
you
I
do
did.
You realize sexting is what you do on your cell phone when you talk dirty back
and forth. No, that's sexting. Sexting is a British term.
Well, welcome to America.
Yeah, we're not British. We kicked their ass, remember? That's why America happened.
And we don't drink tea. Well, you probably drink tea.
I don't drink tea.
I drink tea.
I used to drink green tea, but I couldn't stomach it anymore. I tried drinking it, you know, because I had friends in the JSA, they would serve it to me and be like, yes,
that's the JSA, man. That's JSA's tea.
maybe. It probably,
probably like, Ultra Omega caffeinated right there for you.
Yeah. Like you one sip and you'd be like,
yeah. That's the way you need to keep going with. So anyways, let's start with this fucking show already.
Okay. Well, we went and saw Due Date, starring Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis, directed and written by Todd Phillips. Now, Todd Phillips is the guy who wrote and directed The Hangover, the biggest R-rated comedy of all time. Now, he had a lot on his shoulders because of that with this movie Due Date. Do you feel like Due Date was a well-rounded follow-up to The Hangover? Or do you think it might have missed the mark in a couple areas?
Do you want to take that one, Anvil?
Well, truthfully, I think it followed up pretty well. I mean, it flowed pretty well with the comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't too dry. You know, you got a spot here, a spot there, but Every movie has it.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't think there can ever be a movie that truly doesn't have a dry spot, because even Hangover had its, one or two.
Right. They had, I'm trying to think of the one dry spot. I think it was the I'm Gonna Get a Soda area part of that movie that was a little bit dry.
There's three movies in my life that I found absolutely hilarious, and two of them had Zach Galifianakis.
Yep.
Which was Hangover and this one. There's one other one, which was, I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell.
Now, people have been telling me about that one, and I've heard nothing but horrible reviews.
I don't know. Me and Blue saw it, and
I thought it was fucking hilarious when I watched it, but that's the only thing is I think it's... I mean, I watched it when I was alone, and it kind of, when it started off, it was really just friggin' bizarre. Mm-hmm. So I have to say that be careful of a naked deaf woman and police barging in on a sex scene, basically.
Oh yeah. That was hilarious.
It's because the deaf woman was making so many noises that it sounded like somebody was murdered instead of having sex sounds, so yeah.
When the police busted in, and he got thrown on the ground and landed on his
I mean, how funny is that? I mean, it was more or less, it was because it was like, it was almost like The Hangover, except in the sense that it was three guys instead of four. The three guys setup was, one was just the super omega jerk. The other one was a jerk, but he had his reason because he just had a relationship breakup and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy was the one who was going to be married. So he was the one who got stuck in, the worst situation of all. But the guy who actually muttered the line of, I hope they serve beer in hell, was the guy, who's the super omega jerk. So, yeah, it's definitely one of those movies I would suggest to watch with your friends while you're having a couple beers in you, because it's just funnier that way, because you'd be like, oh, shit, I think we could have done that, because it's really that one of those messed up movies.
And then there's one part that I pray never happens to any of us.
Well, that's what happens when you make fun of a very large woman. She will... What was it? What movie did they take that from? Wedding Crashers, that's what it was. She, he had his beer, he set it down, and he turned around just for a second because he was doing a joke and looking around or something like that. She's like, did you see Wedding Crashers? And she poured eye drops in his friggin' beer.
Yeah.
And he goes to go with another woman, and she, she's definitely married. There's no friggin' question about it. You could see the big diamond ring and everything like that. And they go to the hotel, and she had a sip of his beer as well. She rocked the toilet.
So badly that he couldn't use it,
so he had to go down to the lobby, and he was trying to get to the lobby, and he was just shiting in his pants everywhere.
You see it rolling down his leg and under the floor.
And that was the worst thing, was he got into there, and he finally took care of it, and then he had to take care of another toilet. He offed two toilets in this whole thing. Okay. So that's why the whole concept of, yes, it's not that great of a movie because of the fact that you had to watch a guy run basically naked through a lobby, shitting everywhere.
It's comical.
It's very comical, and it's like one of those lessons to people. But
now let's get back to Due Date. Robert Downey Jr., he's known for his comedy. He was amazing in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
I mean, he even had his comedy in Iron Man, so it's like, it's one of those things. But this movie definitely brought out his aspect of acting for playing a bipolar person, basically, because that's what he was. He really was at the point of, hi, how you doing? And the next point, I just saw red and I couldn't help myself, kind of things. Especially
when... And we don't mean retired, extremely dangerous. Yeah. We mean Red Bull, raw charge, you will die.
I mean,
red.
It got to the point where when they had the car accident... And they're at the hospital, and he comes out with a broken arm and everything like that. And he's like, oh my god, are you okay? It's like, yeah, I'm okay, blah, blah, blah. But, and his friend, played by...
Jamie Foxx,
came into play. And, they were going to pick him up. And he says, no, you're not coming with me. Fuck you. Up yours. And then he kept on getting up and up. And he kept on climbing up that wall of rage. And then it got to the point where he actually spit into the dog's face.
Yep.
And then he walked back to the vehicle. And,
the masturbating dog's
face. Yeah, of course. And of course, when he, you know, Jamie Foxx's character is like, no, you don't need that karma right now. You got a kid coming into the world. Have him come back. And, you know, and they go in and it's like, you spat in the dog's face. I do not remember spat. Oh, well, yeah, maybe I did. Shit, I did. But that was the thing. It was just because of the fact that he was so, like, enraged. But when he was in calm, he was perfectly fine. But, yeah, this movie was definitely, I have to say, it was funny. But I don't think it was as funny as The Hangover.
It had, well, the thing with The Hangover was there was, like, no emotional moments.
And yeah, this one had a lot more of emotion.
I do want to say one thing. Who chose the names of these actors?
Peter Hyman.
Yeah. His name was Peter Hyman, who Robert Downey Jr. played. His wife was Sarah Hyman, played by Michelle Moynihan.
You got Heidi, Loney, Airport Screener. No, I'm just kidding. RZA is in this movie, so don't be surprised when you see him as the TSA, you know, Airport Screener.
But no RZA. Yeah. You can't have the RZA without the RZA.
Actually, there was that car scene with, you know, Zach Galifianakis. He was trying to get the RZA on.
Yeah.
But they have to be in the same scene.
No.
Oh, that would have been just...
But I was glad to see the other TSA agent, which was Matt Walsh, from Upright Citizens Brigade. That was great to have him into it. He was the one that was telling them that they were on the no-flies list. I mean, how much of an asshole do you have to be where you're on the actual plane and the guy's like, oh yeah, they're gonna put the phone away. They don't, you know, they don't like that too much. And I was gonna say, because of the fact that the waves could mess with the equipment in the air, you know, the cockpit. But he's like, no. He's like, terrorists use cell phones to do bombs. And he's just like, first of all, you don't want to say terrorist and bomb on an airplane. And then all of a sudden, you know, the actual, the marshal stood up and he's like, put down the phone and blah, blah, blah. What, you mean the BlackBerry? And then he shoots him with a rubber bullet. I thought, I was laughing because I was just like, oh man, I could actually see that happening. Just because, you know.
If you put emphasis on the words terrorist and bomb.
And King Baby Duck.
Nope.
Yeah, if you do put King Baby Duck and emphasis on a plane, there might be a chance where you might not be able to fly again. Just because is just that dangerous. No, it's a good thing. He's just that dangerous.
Well, I am part of Mile High Club, so...
Yes, you are. All right, so anyways, what did we feel about the actual story altogether?
I'm sorry, hold on.
I felt the story was well done. I did like the aspect of Zach Galifianakis' character having to travel with his father's ashes...
In a coffee can?
In a coffee can, which leads to some sort of really, really bad thing happening to said father's ashes.
Oh, man. I don't even want to think about that.
Well, I mean, more or less, it's already...
You might not want to go to Starbucks again in the near future.
If you saw the trailer or something like that, you probably have seen that part that happened.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's definitely one of those messed up type movies and everything like that. And I just want to say for right now, I mean, the rating as of IMDb, it's 7.2 as of right now, and that's out of 1,300 votes. So that's not too bad, actually, considering it just opened up yesterday.
Yeah.
So we'll probably have to check out how good this goes for that part.
I felt that Zach Galifianakis was able to put more into his acting ability into this role, similar in vein of the movie that we just saw in last month, It's Kind of a Funny Story.
Yeah. Well, let's just put it this way. It's funny because of the fact that he's playing a person who wants to be an actor that goes to Hollywood and everything like that. And he's trying to be a good actor to play a worse actor to do the scenes. I mean, there was a part that was a heart-wrenching part where he had to do it, you know.
When he was trying to talk to his wife who was trying to divorce him.
But then he gets into the whole father aspect and, you know, you really feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and then he started masturbating in the car, and that's when you do.
Yeah.
Stuff. Truth be told, my favorite acting job that he did was when he did do the Godfather scene.
Yeah, the Godfather was actually pretty. It was pretty good considering. Yeah.
Oh, you come on down here.
Oh no, not you. No, no, Zach was funny.
My daughter's birth.
No,
and now you're assaulting me.
Anyways,
my name's Rodney King. I'm being beat up by a wannabe cop.
Yeah, thank you.
Love you too,
douche. Anyways, yeah, with the way that this movie was shot and, you know, presented and everything like that, Todd Phillips did a great job again.
Yes.
I'm just saying that it's not up to par of Hangover, and the only other thing is the fact that there's already talk about Hangover 2.
That's coming out Memorial Day weekend.
I'm already hungover.
Yeah, it just seems that I don't know how the hell you're going to be able to
top the first one.
Yeah, top the first
one. It's a nearly impossible feat.
It seems like you have to make it even just as hardcore of that. It's ridiculous.
Well, the fact that the second one is going to be taking place in Bangkok.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Are we finding David Carradine in a closet?
No, I hope not. Oh, Jesus.
Sorry.
Wow, Todd Phillips was actually in the movie. I can't remember. He was Barry. I don't remember him playing in there.
Who's Barry?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
Does anybody remember Barry?
Yeah. I don't remember Barry.
Click on it real quick.
Well, he might have been the driver.
No, because the driver was played by Brody Stevens.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the limo driver was Brody Stevens. Click but what about Danny McBride?
Oh, Danny McBride as the Iraqi war veteran.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That was great. Working at a Western Union, of all places. A Western Union. So,
if you see Danny McBride working at a Western Union, you should be worried. You should be really worried.
Keep your distance and have some spike strips.
All right, yeah. And, well, anyways.
And respect for your war veteran.
Yeah,
especially. Because he might come rolling out with a baton.
Yes.
And break your fucking nose.
Yeah. All right, well, let's end this one and let's get a, you know, what's rating.
I feel like I can give this a 4.5 out of 5. Because there were a couple dry spots in the area. It was funny, not as funny as The Hangover, but I think you will enjoy it as much as The Hangover.
Yeah. Yeah, 4.0 to 4.5, around that general vicinity, I would give that because of the fact that it still didn't, you know, it didn't live up to The Hangover, but also it just needs to, you know, it came together because you did have Robert Downey Jr. and then you had Zach Galifianakis. I couldn't even believe, you know, even putting those guys in the same movie, but he was able to do it, so I have to give him props on that one. What do you feel?
And I'm going to give it a 4.5 out of
4.5. So you're giving it a 5?
No, I'm giving it a 4.5.
Out of 4.5. So it's just like giving it a 5 stars.
No, because I didn't give it a 5. I gave it a 4.5.
Out of 4.5.
Exactly. Now you got it.
So you're giving it your rendition of the top score.
Yes.
Of course.
Except in his book. Anyways, his mental status...
Amble's always right. Leave it alone.
All
right,
you see his ratings start at 2 and end at 4.5.
Yeah. All right, well, anyways.
Actually, I've given, you know, ones before.
Speaking of which...
And then your comedy, I gave it a negative 3,000, remember?
Paranormal Activity, asshole.
Paranormal Activity 2.
You had to force yourself and duck tape yourself to the fucking chair.
With those crazy little eye things from A Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, that too.
Well, you guys want to know what I felt about this movie? King, stand up for a minute.
No, you're not going to physically beat somebody.
No, I'm not going to hit you. I want to show you, everybody on here, how horrible the, you know, graphics were. So just stand up for a second. You can stand behind me.
Fine. Oh, if you fart on me...
I will not! You knock it off. Get behind me.
You will not fart in his general direction.
So let's say we're all sitting here and, you know, this... We're in the movie Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
Here we go. Ooh, I'm so scared. The chair's moving. Oh my God. The chair moved.
Okay, so, in layman's terms, there are much better graphics in the Haunted Mansion at Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
All right, the aspect that happens is, this is the pre-sequel. All right.
How the fuck could you do a pre-sequel?
The pre-squel. The priest-quel.
All right, let me explain this. Now, if you all saw, you know, number one, you'd know it's this lady, Linda, and her boyfriend.
And they're
haunted,
you know,
and the boyfriend dies.
Booga, booga,
and
booga,
she's possessed.
She disappears.
Oh. Well, no, she's possessed in number one.
Yeah, but she disappears.
Yeah, kind of.
Sort of.
All right. So, in number two, you start off with, you know, this family who just had a baby, a little baby boy.
Yeah.
It's mother, father, son, and teenage daughter, who is the father's daughter from a previous marriage. They have this really, really awesome nanny.
Yeah.
Who believes in the old hoodoo. Little things start happening and, you know, she gets creeped out.
So it's the voodoo that you do so well.
Yeah, but from my understanding that you were explaining earlier, it gets to the whole sense that there's the family thing that goes on, and somebody owes somebody debt about the kid.
Well, let me get the whole premise.
No, forward. Fuck that. Let's just get all to right, the kid.
They come home, and they find their house completely trashed. So they have security cameras put in.
Yeah.
All right. So weird things start happening. Pans are mysteriously falling.
Ooh.
Called
Earthquake Central, douchebags.
Well, no. One of them, the lady hung it back up, walked away, and it falls right back down. And it's off a hook. Another time, the daughter's babysitting, and she falls asleep on the couch, and something leans over, whispers her, and she jumps up screaming. Another time, there's a knock on the door, and she opens and she steps out, and the door just slams shut behind her and locks.
Well, interesting.
The deadbolt locked.
Oh, yeah, right.
So she couldn't get in, the parents came home, blah, she got in trouble. Mm-hmm. The mother starts seeing things are happening, the father doesn't believe any of it. He's like, you know, the old maid got in your heads. Well, finally, you know, the daughter's doing research, and she finds out that it could, instead of a ghost, be a demonic possession. And I'm like, oh, come on. And then they explain how this kind of possession takes part. And what happens is, you know, they found out, like, the great-great-grandmother promised the soul of the firstborn male child to the devil from power and wealth back in the 1930s.
Well, in the old days.
Well, the son, Hunter, was the firstborn male since 1930. So, of course, the demons are trying to take it. And one day, the whole family's sleeping, and the dog starts barking. Beautiful German Shepherd. I really have to say, whoever cast that dog picked a beautiful dog. She's barking. All of a sudden, you see her whip off the screen from the kitchen, flying. You hear her slam against the wall. They all go running downstairs, and she's just laying there, badly injured.
Twitching.
The dad and the daughter take her to the vet, and they leave the mother and the baby. So the mother is sitting on the stairs. You know, she keeps on calling and calling and calling. Nobody's answering. And I'm like, oh, come on. You know, there was some stupid little, you know, cabinets blowing open, you know, with loud bangs, whatever.
Parlor tricks, as it was once stated for one of the reviews I heard.
Exactly.
But and they're probably shitty as hell.
Not all of them. Most of them.
Yeah.
There were one or two that were actually pretty good. But all of a sudden, she goes to go walk in because the baby's crying. And she gets blown out of the room. And it looks like someone's dragging her down the stairs. And she grabs on, holds on for dear life. You see her legs just floating in midair. And finally, it lets go of her.
Yep.
She goes back to go in the room. And it blows. It drags her straight down the stairs. The basement door opens. And she gets dragged in. The next morning, she doesn't want to get out of bed. So the dad asks the daughter to watch her. He said, I have to go to a meeting. Call me if you need me. Because, you know, I don't care about ruining this movie. I'm just going to do it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, the daughter goes up to look into the bedroom, the baby's room, and she's just sitting there looking like a zombie with bite marks, like human bite marks on her leg. The basement door, there's claw marks in the door, like she was trying to scrape her way out. She turns to the camera and says something and looks back into the baby's room, and the mother's gone. So she goes in because the baby's crying. All of a sudden, she jumps at her and says, don't touch the baby. She freaks out, calls daddy. Daddy comes home. He sees it, and he calls the old, you know, nanny back. She says, the devil possessed her. You have to, you know, get it out of her. And oils up a cross, does all this other stuff. He says, you have to pass it on to a living blood relative, which would be the sister. All right? So he does it. You know, the whole scene happens, and the ghost is gone. But the sister gets it, and that's where number one starts. And it's all, you know, like, they're literally telling you the whole time, you know, in 60 days, so-and-so dies, which is the guy from number one. And then it goes to the day that he dies, because, you know, the family doesn't have to go to him. Or the girls, the sister, Linda's like, oh, I think my house might be haunted now, blah, blah, blah. And then the very next day after.
Yeah, but how does she not notice that she got it put onto her? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, the ghost was just sent to her house.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it possessed her like it possessed the other one.
All right.
She wouldn't have known that she, you know, like, didn't possess her when she made that statement. Because you become like a zombie.
Yeah.
So it goes to the very end now. And the dad's sitting there watching TV. And there's nothing. They go up to mom watching the baby. Or walk around with the baby. Goes down and you see the Aunt Linda just standing there with blood all over her shirt in the back of the kitchen. Dad looks back. And she's gone. Goes back to show mom, goes back and Linda's standing right behind the father, grabs him and snaps his neck. Goes up the stairs, kills the mother. Mm-hmm. You see her pick up the baby, she's cradling him, looks up at the camera, because, you know, they all know it's there, and then just walks out. And it ends with saying Allie, who is a teenage daughter, returns home from a class trip to find, you know, her mother and father dead. Linda and Hunter were never seen again.
Until Paranormal Activity 3.
Yeah. Which I don't doubt will happen. So rate this bitch and let's go.
Truthfully, I'll give it a 2.
We shouldn't even have given it that much time.
Yeah.
Well, I figured I'd explain some people now not to go get it. Or go see it.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 2.
Alright, next movie.
Alright, I saw the movie Leap Year yesterday.
But doesn't it have Amy Adams in it?
Yeah, yes, Amy Adams.
And Matthew Good. And Adam Scott.
And Jonathan Lithgow.
John Lithgow plays Amy Adams' father in the movie. But he's only in it for very, very few, not even like less than 5 minutes.
A sliver of the movie, there you go.
Not even 5 minutes in the movie.
All right, so keep going.
But what happens is Amy Adams is dating, she plays...
Who gives a shit? Anne Brady.
And she's dating Jeremy. Well, he only gives her earrings and everything, and she was hoping for a proposal, and he goes off to, you know, Dublin for a cardiologist conference because he's a cardiologist. Basically, there's an old Irish, you know...
Tradition.
Folk tale.
Tradition.
That on February 29th, which only happens every 4 years, a woman can propose to her boyfriend. She goes over
to
there.
To a man.
Oh, okay, to a man.
Because it could be anybody. Because that looks like what kind of clusterfuck this movie came out of.
Kind of. And she goes to fly over. Bad weather makes them land in Scotland. She takes a boat over to Dingle, Ireland, which is far off where she wants. And she meets Declan, the owner of a bar, who's also the taxi driver. And the movie's basically their fun journey along the way. It's comical. It's stupid.
Yeah, but it doesn't look so hot on IMDb. It's got a 6.1.
Yeah. It could go either way, in my opinion. I rated it with a 3.
A 3? So yeah. About halfway there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like there was another movie that was almost exactly like that, but it was in a setup where the girl was trying to go over to Scotland or something like that to marry a guy. This is the one that I was mixing up with this one.
Oh, okay.
And she went and she was going to marry this guy, but her best friend that would be the friggin' man whore of all men finally got to the point where it's just like, you know what? I think I love her. And he went back over there and, you know, was able to, you know, get in and be happily... Happy ending bullshit. Anyways, what was the next one we got here?
Legendary.
John Cena.
Yes. I thought it was Legacy. No,
it's Legendary.
Legendary. God damn it.
It stars, you know, John Cena. You know, WWE superstar.
Superstar.
Vagina.
Technically, yes. But whatever.
It's just because he got big muscles.
And he plays...
Mike Chetley.
Yeah, Mike Chutney.
Chetley,
whatever. It also stars, you know, Devin Gray, Patricia Clarkson, and a very underused Danny Glover.
But Danny Glover can be underused. That's what's good about him.
Yeah. He played Cal, who was the main character. Knew him as Red. But it gets into the whole story of basically Cal grew up not really knowing his father because his father was killed when he was younger. His father was a college and high school wrestling star. His brother Mike was the same. But Cal is this tall, lanky, skinny 135-pound kid. And he wants to, you know, get close with his brother, so he joins a wrestling team. Basically, this is his journey to try to reunite with his brother and connect with the past to his father. Great story. I really enjoyed it. I'm not going to, you know, waste too much time on it. I know IMDb doesn't give it too well.
It's a 5.2. So what do you give this as a rating?
I'm going to give it a 4.
All right.
Just because whoever gave, you know, these 709 people that voted, you know, probably don't even have a clue of, you know, what's really behind it.
Yeah, it seemed like it was more like an emotional type movie and stuff like that. So if you feel like bringing out the tissues and ice cream, this is probably one of those movies. I mean, all right, let's get to the music.
All right, well, this past Tuesday I went and saw The Dresden Dolls performed at the Wilbur Theater, and what they did was they performed in its entirety their first self-titled debut album.
Nice.
And what was cool about it too is what they would be giving like backstory about how Amanda Palmer and Brian Biglione first met Halloween 10 years ago. And Amanda Palmer, I forget what she dressed up, but Brian Biglione dressed up as a severed head. And that night, Amanda Palmer was playing a few songs on the piano that she had written. Brian goes, "That sounds great. How about you and I form a band of some sorts?"
And that's how Dresden Dolls were born.
No, yeah, basically. That's how they were formed. And the first practice was almost never happened because Amanda Palmer forgot about it.
Yeah.
So, Brian Biglione, like, goes from one side of Boston to the other on his skateboard, finds Amanda's apartment, goes, "We had practice today." She goes, "Oh, I forgot. Give me 5 minutes." And they get back to Brian's apartment, they rock out, and they basically start making history of sorts.
No, did they rock out or did they rock out?
Rock out.
Nice.
Yeah, well, more or less what I'm trying to say is that with this setup, you know, as said, more or less if you're supposed to go and do like a band meeting or something, go and fucking do it, because it could be, you know, something that comes out and you make shits loads of money. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
And what makes the Dresden Dolls wonderful is that it's, if you think about it, it's two people doing percussion-styled stuff. I know piano is not a percussion instrument per se, but Brian is banging on the drums and she's banging on the piano. So you got two people just, you know, getting all this aggression and energy out of them by banging on two different instruments.
Yeah.
So they come on stage and they don't go right into the album at first. They perform Sex Changes, Mrs. O, and I forget the third song that they did, but then they start talking about the first album, how it was created, stories behind it, and they even talk about how Amanda legally changed her middle name to Fucking. So her full legal Amanda name, the Fucking Palmer.
Holy shit.
Well, I mean, it gets to that point where you have to be like, Amanda Fucking Palmer.
Well, that's what's funny, too, is she's Scottish. Ah. And then she was like, maybe I should have changed it to Mick Fucking.
Yeah.
So what was her real middle name?
I forget what it was.
Don't worry about it.
But I was like,
nobody wants to know. She doesn't want anybody to know that.
No one would mess with the McFuckings. Although, it would probably be the opposite. The McFuckings will be the most peaceful people on the planet.
They're very docile and they prefer to cuddle up in bed all night.
Yep.
And get the McFuck on.
They're cold. They just eat vegetables. They like to have their sheep as pets and not as food.
Anyway, keep going about the freaking concert. Don't make me come over there.
She messes up once during the song 672, and she goes, oops, we McFuckins apologize for nothing. And she goes, one of my favorite stories, she goes and talks about the song, the Jeep song. And beforehand, she pulls up all these people in the audience, and they want them to be the backing vocals for the song.
Oh, no.
So, you know, they want
How bad is that?
It's pretty unique. There was a girl that was 7 feet tall.
Jesus!
Really?
I'm not kidding you.
Did you want
to climb? She was tall. She was tall.
Okay, but you didn't answer my question.
No, I didn't want to climb her. She was like she wasn't like an awesome supermodel. She was like a
Rotan?
She was like the female version of The Big Show.
Isn't that like Arizola or something like that from WWF? I'll try to find her.
So she's like an ogre.
Just keep talking.
Anyways,
did you just give me the hand?
Yes, I did. I just gave you the hand.
Don't only like girls do that?
Nope, dudes do it too.
I've never seen a guy give the hand.
I've seen a few people do it.
Okay, any straight guys?
Yes.
Well, I've never.
Yeah, I have. But anyway, she talked about the reason why she wrote the song, the Jeep song, is that her ex-boyfriend that she broke up with had this 1996 black Jeep Cherokee.
Oh, jeez.
And being from the Boston area, at that time, everyone had this same Jeep. So it was really bugging her and decided to write a song about it. So now, every time she sees the Jeep, she now thinks of the song and not about the ex who broke her heart.
Ah. So well, that's always good.
Yeah, and she gave the advice to, if there's something that reminds you of something horrible, just draw like a really stupid picture of sorts and show it to your friends, and it'll make them laugh. So then every time you see this thing that once broke your heart, you'll now think of the really stupid art project.
That's who I was talking about, Alugia. Alugia from WWE.
Oh, no, no, no. No, no, nothing like her.
Okay, just making sure. I mean, I feel bad for Alugia here because she's kind of she's holding a kid, and the kid's texting right in her arms. How stupid is that? All right, anyways, back to the show.
But they do the whole album. They didn't do it flawlessly. They did mess up a couple times, but it added more to the experience of seeing him live, and it even made it funnier in some places.
I just want to make a comment to our buddy Bursag right here. He gave you the hand because I was, the whole ogre comment came from our
In case that person was listening, I didn't want to offend her or anything like that.
Well, hey, our fans asked something. I need to ask it, and you give me the hand.
Okay, fine.
Which, normal people don't give the hand anymore.
So, they come back and do an encore, and they do the song Mine Air from Cabaret.
Yeah.
And Amanda Palmer's got, like, this golden bra on, and... And she hits the notes and everything. It's just awesome. And then they do the song. I'm not sure if you ever remember the song Pierre by Carole King. It's about this boy named Pierre who always used to say, I don't care. He gets eaten by a lion. The lion gets sick. Yeah, and then the lion coughs up the boy. And the boy goes...
It sounds like a familiar story. I just can't remember the actual musical aspect of it.
The guy who wrote Where the Wild Things Are originally came up with the story.
Geez, him?
Yeah, Maurice Sendak.
I'm sorry, I just can't stand that movie. I hate it so badly. And now it's been playing on like the movie channels, and I'm like, oh no, not again! I'm just hoping the batteries don't fall out, and I'm sitting there screaming, why?
And they ended the song with a cover of War Pigs by Black Sabbath, which is just...
Fucking ending.
Which is just unfucking believable to see two people, one person on a piano, and then one person on a drums duet. They do it better than Black Sabbath. I'm sorry. They do it better than Black Sabbath.
Better than the original.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Brian McLeona is like one of the greatest drummers in the world.
Like, all right, let's put it this way. There's, John Lennon's version of Imagine, and then there's a Perfect Circle's version of Imagine. I like the Perfect Circle version of Imagine a little bit better than the original, but that's because I really officially kind of heard their version first. But I'm just saying that I do understand where you're coming from about doing it better.
Yeah.
It's just that something that you incorporate into the music in order to make it even better, which Black Sabbath had, what, 5 people in the band or something like that? And then you got 2 people doing the same song? That's pretty fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The APC one is way better, and the other one sounds too happy for a dark song. Yeah, so, yeah, pretty much.
Which exactly. One?
I think the APC one's probably a lot better because it's more or less the original one.
Yeah.
It's trying to sound a little bit happier.
Okay.
So, I mean, especially the music, the music video for Imagine from A Perfect Circle, I think I like how they designed it to work together. It's pretty fucking crazy. But anyways, what do you feel about giving this one?
5 stars. The magic is back, people. The magic is back.
Now, is this going to start them on an official tour, or is this,
together? They are touring. They are touring together. And I wouldn't be surprised if they start working on new music together. They had a little bit of a 2-year break because...
all the side bands that they've been working
with,
right?
Well, that and they were just tired. I want to say they were at each other's necks during touring, but there were some disagreements here and there. They needed some time apart off stage.
Yeah, I mean, if you have people that are working with each other, constantly at the same time, all the time, it really gets to the point where you can't stick together as much as it used to be. It just gets to the point where you just need to take a break and then come back into it.
Right, and Brian's been really happy. Amanda Palmer's been really happy about this whole tour thing. They feel like, okay, we are now focused. We feel like we're having more fun now.
Yeah, exactly. So
it doesn't feel like a job anymore. It feels like we are just going on stage and giving people just a reason to rock out. So 5 stars for the Dresden Dolls live at the Wilbur Theater. Just unbelievable. And one of my... If you've never ever listened to them, I would really recommend checking out their
albums. ever heard the song Coin Operated Boy, then there you go.
Yes.
That's one of their songs. That's what they're really infamous for, you know, for that one.
Here's
one
the song. Thing about that. Amanda Palmer revealed that it was this close to being cut from the album.
Yeah. I can only imagine because of the fact that, you know, the song is very sexual, but also it's just not appropriate. So having it played on the radio is kind of impressive.
No, that's the thing. Coin Operated Boy isn't about anything like that.
Bullshit.
I've seen children perform this song at productions.
Bullshit. It yes. still means whatever we thinking in our head it means. It's really that badly. Yes, it is.
All right.
Don't start.
Well, when she sings it live, she changes the line from "I can even take it in the bath." She changes it to "I can even fuck it in the ass."
Exactly.
Fine. You might have a point.
How the hell can you do that, huh? It is a sex toy. It's not a coin-operated boy. It's not one of those stupid little friggin' things that you actually put a coin in and watch the little fucker dance. No. No. I kid
it's,
you.
It's an amazing video.
Congratulations.
I don't think Amanda Palmer would be pleased with that sort of conclusion.
I don't know. We're just fucking around anyways. So anyways.
One of the opening acts from the show caught... It was impossible not to get your attention on this band. They were in the mosh pit area. They were performing. They were called Emperor Norton's Stationary Marching Band. And this is their album, Reign of Revelry.
You have to stop shaking.
You have to stop shaking it. I'll fucking do it.
The shaking CD syndrome.
Does this count? Is that good?
Yeah. I think that's
can
good.
Can you see it? Good.
Yes.
Fucking get it away from me.
It now suffers from shaking CD syndrome.
No. More like me fucking frisbee tossing the fucking thing. Anyways.
And I was blown away by their performance when they weren't on stage. Like I said, they were performing in the audience. People were in the crowd dancing along to them. It was really cool.
Physically dancing? Because
yes.
I just can't imagine that.
Yes. Physically dancing.
I can't fucking imagine that. I can't. I listened to the fucking album. I just couldn't fucking... All I can say is that because
really,
just, when I listen to this album, I just like, dude, how the fuck were they in the mosh pit area performing this music and people were actually enjoying it? It seems like something from, you know, Halloween 2 from what's his name mixed in the 1920s fucking version of music. It seems like it was a fucking train wreck for me. Not clash together.
That's weird because there were a couple things that came to mind when I was listening to it. One of them, somewhat, was the Cowboy Bebop soundtrack. And it had that sort of free-form jazz type of feel to the album.
It felt like Spanish. It felt like if it had that, you know, kind of like little friggin' horn in the background. You know what? Not like dee 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 dee. I'm talking about like fucking samba dancing or whatever the fuck you want to call that. It really. Yeah, exactly. Anyways.
Hey, I know Spanish music, okay? I listen to it enough.
Listening
to
Daddy Yankee.
Forced
to
listen to it enough.
Yes, that's a better one.
What?
You were forced to listen to it.
Yes, I didn't say
because you were working at the fucking place.
That and my neighbors.
That too, because you couldn't sleep because of that whole fucking fun incident. But anyways, yeah, this one just doesn't flow with me too much, so I kind of would have been like, what the fuck, if I could have gone to the concert, it was just because of the fact that I need money, I'm a whore. Sorry. Damn you, dollar bill. Damn you!
I enjoyed this album. I liked how eclectic that sounded. And what's really cool about the band, too, is they have a traveling circus that travels with them, too.
A traveling fucking circus.
Yes,
exactly what I'm talking about! Like 1920 circus bullshit. Oh!
But it's awesome, though. Dude, if I had my own talk show, this would be like the type of band I would have as like my house band.
Well, you'd have to put a glass plate in front of them, otherwise I'd be pulling out a paintball gun and trying to shoot him every time. Like, stop that! Stop it! Fucking go over there.
It also reminded me of the music from Rabbids Go Home.
Yeah, well, I give it to that band. I like that band a lot more. That one flows. This one, I just don't know.
It was more freestyle in this than the Rabbids music. I like Emperor Norton's Stationary Marching Band. I'm more interested in seeing what they're like when they're performing with their circus and acrobatic acts and really hot contortionist women.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, got Anvil on the subject.
Yeah. So
done, Boba.
I give Reign of Revelry 4.5 out of 5 stars.
I'll give it a 2.
I give it a 1.5. You know, Ducks only give everything 2 to 4.5.
Yeah.
And which means he really loved it, by the way.
Yeah.
What? I gave it 1.5.
Out of 1.5. Right,
no! Out of 30.
Congratulations. We're on sports now.
Oh, come on.
Sports!
There goes the rest of the show. All right, so sports have picked up pretty well. And we all know, I got to do it now. Anvil predicted it right.
Vagina.
The San Francisco Giants won the World Series in 5 games. Thank you, Anvil. You're
Yo
the man.
Ho, ho.
I'm the man.
Thank you, Anvil. Without you, we wouldn't have known who won.
You're welcome. And actually, I got a phone call from Tim Lincecum saying, thanks, man. You had faith. You're the only person outside of California that did. I'm like, wait, I know.
2 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Tim Lincecum. That's a pitcher.
Oh.
He actually won 2 games in the World Series. And
that's ready? Pretty impressive.
I'm going to get you ladies going.
Yay!
Guess who the MVP of the World Series was?
Tim Lincecum?
No,
I wish. The motherfucker that used to be on our team.
Edgar Renteria.
That motherfucker.
He got his third World Series. Guy. Wait, you ready for this? He won one with Florida Marlins, won one as a Red Sox, and won one as a Giant, right? But he also lost one.
And what did he lose it with?
St. Louis Cardinals. He hit the comeback pitch to Keith Falk to give us the championship in 04. And
of course, this motherfucker gets the MVP finally.
Yeah.
And do you know what happened to him the very next day?
What?
Cut.
He got cut.
He got cut.
Really?
Very next day.
Nice.
Yep. He got cut from the Giants?
Yep.
Why? What the fuck?
Yep.
He's the fucking MVP! How do you fucking cut the fucking MVP?
Well, can you shut up? Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Point out on the doll when Michael Jackson touched you.
Yeah.
After all that screaming. Because he sucks. He didn't play half the year. The first playoff series he didn't even play in. And he was lucky he didn't get cut sooner. It's just he came up with a couple key hits that gave him the win. So he got MVP of the World Series because of a few good hits.
Oh, okay.
That's how you win it. He hit the game-winning home run. And truthfully, you know, a couple good hits can get you an MVP that way. Yes.
Question! Okay.
You, Mr. Blue.
Yes, question is, how do you feel about getting Poppy back for only 1 year?
Okay. You ready for this? I think it's smart. He has a team option. We exercised it. But that doesn't mean he won't be back longer. Because that just means we kept him off the free agent market, and we could be negotiating a long-term deal at this point.
Okay.
It just keeps him as a guaranteed Red Sox for 1 more year. And truthfully, he's had 2 couple rough years. Last year, granted, he ended well, but he started horribly.
Yeah, well, that was the whole thing where he wasn't up to par with his usual, 30 home runs by that point. Yeah.
I mean, for the first month of baseball, you know, he was batting a 117, which sucks. I think the duck over here could have hit better.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Most likely.
Let's say he could run. No offense. But you know how far it is to first?
Pretty far.
It's 90 feet.
That's a huge bitch.
That's 30 yards, you know, and you got to make it there. I mean, if you were faster, I'd give you more credit.
I used to play Wyoming baseball, so I know what you mean.
Because that was small. Well, I mean, when you're smaller, that is about the same distance that it would be, like, for regular. But, yeah, it is a motherfucker. So.
But, I mean, congratulations to the Giants. Congratulations to Big Poppy on coming back. You know, we got a few more acquisitions that we should do. I really think that we should bring back Jason Varitek.
How the fuck are we going to do that? He retired.
No, we didn't.
Didn't he retire?
He became a free agent.
How did he become a free agent? I thought he was done.
No.
I thought he was just like, I'm throwing in the towel or I'm done.
No.
I just wanted to fit
He wants to play.
I thought he was going to finish with the Red Sox.
Yeah, well, he wants to play still. But we also have guys like Victor Martinez who are on, you know... The free agency. Adrian Beltre, I say, will not be back our third baseman because he had a player option to come back, and he declined it. Which means he either doesn't want to be here or he just wants more money.
Hey, look it.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't know we got Young to be our
Kurt Young will be our new pitching coach because John Farrell accepted Toronto Blue Jays' offer to go be their head coach.
Nice.
Interesting.
Yes. And actually, Kurt Young's Oakland Athletics actually had the best ERA in all of baseball.
Yeah,
so that's, you know, hopefully that will help us out. Moving on, the Celtics won again last night against Chicago Bulls, 110-105 in overtime.
You know what I can say is, fuck you, Noah. Fuck you.
Fuck you, Joakim Noah. I used to like you, now I don't.
I don't know, I just didn't like how he was playing.
I liked him in college.
Douchebag.
But we also beat the Bucks the other night in overtime. We have one loss on the season. You know, the team's looking good.
We've been doing actually pretty good. They've been kicking ass and taking names, and they've had a pretty decent, you know, point spread by the end of the game.
Yeah.
But it just, I think the game that they lost against the,
Cleveland Cavaliers.
The Cavaliers, that could have been easily won, but it just that they got screwed in the fourth, so.
Well, truth be told, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, it's because we're so old. Yeah, we are old. But, you know, we're a team that can't play back-to-back games, but we'll get into the playoffs, but we're a playoff team.
Yeah, and I have to say that the age experience is definitely one of the ones that helps us out, because the fact is if you've got a bunch of friggin' young bastards or anything like that, or hellions running around in your team, they're gonna do shit because of the fact they're like, oh, do I stand over here? Well, I don't know how your team plays, let me figure out how I'm playing.
But now we have, you know, a group of older players, both of them have won championships.
And they've been together for a long time. I mean, they work together just like a well-oiled machine. I mean,
and bringing Shaq, you know, only helps us.
I mean, this is one of those cars that's over 100,000 miles. It's still fucking running fucking gorgeous. I mean,
Shaq's, you know, got a whole bunch of rings, so that, you know, can help us. So we'll see where that goes.
I think it'd be even a prettier ring if it was a Boston Celtics ring. Definitely.
Yes. I also want to congratulate Paul Pierce. He broke the 20,000 career point mark as a Boston Celtic.
Fuck yeah!
There's only two other players in Celtics history to do that. He's up there with John Havlicek and Larry Bird.
Larry Bird.
And actually, by the end of his career, he could actually be the Celtics all-time points leader, which is kind of cool. Because he's less than 2,000 points away. And he could do that in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see where that goes.
Yep.
Now let's move on to
Patriots.
Hockey.
No, Patriots.
Patriots are last.
Oh.
Oh. You mean even after all this UFC 122 talk?
Fuck that shit.
Don't even get me started. Well, actually, that's a free fight.
Yeah.
That's a free fight. Don't worry. No worries. Anyways, wait a second.
What?
Bruins, right?
Yep.
Okay, we got Bruins.
All right, so the Bruins are off to, you know, a really good start. They've lost three games, including last night's game where they lost 5-3 to the Washington Capitals. They play again tonight. Hopefully they can rebound. Tim Thomas playing phenomenally. Granted, you know, he took his first loss last night.
Damn you, Ovechkin, I'm going to fucking kick your ass.
But, I mean, it's not all his fault either. You know, there's a thing called defense. So we'll see what happens. But truthfully, the team can go really far as long as they play together. And the team, you know, retired Milt Schmidt's number. So congratulations, Milt Schmidt. I know I'm a little bit late on that one.
Yeah, whatever.
So yeah, let's move on to the Patriots now.
Patriots!
They beat the Minnesota Vikings last week 28-18 and also knocked out Grandpa Brett Favre, who needed 8 stitches to his chin.
Okay, my donkey be on a good pudding now.
After taking a hit from, you know, defensive lineman Pryor.
Alright, so how old is Brett Favre again?
He's like 42.
Alright, I'm sorry, but I think it's one of those shelf life type, you know, deals with, you know, quarterbacks, especially nowadays. Yeah. They need to drop off because they've been, you know, it's just not worth it. He's just going to get fucking injured and, I mean,
and he'll get so confused.
He's got enough fucking money, man. He could just sit back and fucking smoke a Cuban cigar for the rest of his fucking life if he wanted to.
And keep sending pictures of his penis to other girls.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you could go ahead and deal with the sexting and everything like that afterwards. But yeah, the Browns are looking a little bit, furious here.
They are. We have former Texas quarterback Colt McCoy starting from the last couple games. Very good quarterback. I used to watch him in college.
Yeah,
and
the scary thing is that we're actually going to be at their house.
Oh, that doesn't matter.
Their house.
Our team's picking up very hard, and I feel like we actually pull off this win. It's going to be a close game, though. And our defense needs to stay stout and get, you know, more pressure on the quarterback, because that's what he needs. A young quarterback, if you put enough pressure, he'll falter. Mm-hmm. If we get enough pressure, we can probably pick him off 4 times.
Nice.
But we need the pressure.
Pressure.
Make him feel constipated.
No, I was thinking more like tweet from South Park, like, yeah! Yeah, exactly, like, Jesus!
So, I mean, quarterback matchup, we have the better quarterback.
But it just depends on how our offense is going to hold up their part of the game. And
Logan Mankin's going to be back for this game, so that's going
to
make our
okay. That's better. A little bit better, but now the defense aspect, we have to fucking make sure that they have to kick it into gear.
Our defense is stronger. There's only one part that makes me worried.
What's that?
Special teams.
Special.
The Cleveland Browns have all pro kick and punt returner Josh Cribbs returning for them.
Great.
And that makes me nervous. So we've got to see where that goes. Hopefully, you know, we can contain them. Because, like they say, contain.
Defense.
Yes.
Tee-hee. I mean, the Patriots are doing fucking abs, you know, just awesome.
We have the best record in all of football right now.
Sweet deal.
Yes. Now, you know, in other news, baseball coaching legend, and he coached the Big Red Machine, the Cincinnati Reds, George Sparky Anderson passed away this week.
Oh, that sucks.
True legend, a real, you know, stand-up guy. And I'll never forget you know, when I was learning about baseball, there was this press conference that he held. He had been in his 40s. Everybody called him Sparky Anderson. And he's like, I would like everybody to call me George, a man in his 40s. Should not be called Sparky. And, of course, nobody listened to him. He's was inducted to the into Cooperstown Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. So, baseball and the sports community took a big loss with losing Sparky Anderson.
Yep. He'll be sadly missed.
Yes. So, do you have anything you want to throw in, Mr. Blue?
No. I mean, with sports right now, this has basically been the only thing that's been going on. I mean, Red Sox have been, you know, way besides the fact that the whole Ortiz thing here. But, yeah, I mean, the Celtics, I feel that they're doing great. Just keep up the good fucking work. And Shaq, just please don't put on women's clothing again. Just don't. I'm tired of seeing, like, the YouTube thing of you and, like, the really scary hair and being, like, a 7 foot tall, like, hermaphrodite or whatever the fuck you wanted to be. So yeah, I'm really scared about that one. Next to that, the Patriots keep kicking ass, taking names like, you know, you have been doing in the past and everything like that for these last couple games. And along with that, the Bruins, sorry about Timmy, but you know, he's done a great job. It's just that he's need to soon, you know, just you got to get the backup in there, to, you know, for the defense. So let's stop running this, you know, 4-on-1 bullshit and leave one man behind and put four up, because that leads it into the whole breakaway situations, and that's what pretty much fucked them the other night. So I definitely suggest to keep it up on the 3-2 scale on the actual games, because then we're going to be able to keep up with the, you know, the team and do a hell of a lot better of a, you know, job with the game. So all together for sports, you know, that's what I have to say.
Well, that's good. You know, I mean, good week for sports. You know, good time. Boston teams, you know, they're doing pretty well.
Yep.
You know, World Baseball is now officially over.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, let's take a fork in that one.
All right, video game.
Okay. Well, there was really only one demo that came out this week for Xbox, and that was for a game called Apache Air Assault. And it's a helicopter game where you basically pilot the helicopter and you shoot down targets. This was one of the most bullshit games I've ever played in my life.
Did you play the realistic part of it?
No, I was in the regular training mode and I was still getting fucked over.
Alright, so now the issue that I have with this game is the fact of how they designed the actual controls. I think they were trying to do it in mind of the actual Apache, but they fucked up somewhere along the way. Because of the fact is you're only able to control the rotation of the actual helicopter back and forth with the right stick, and then what you're going to do is, in order to make them go up and down, you could only go, you know, up by pushing forward on the right stick or, you know, back, depending on unless you switch the controllers around and stuff like that. Because,
yeah,
believe me, you have to actually try to customize the hell out of this in order to get it to work for you.
Because we tried turning right, and then it would go left. And then we tried to go left, and then we crashed into a fucking tree.
Yeah, I mean, more or less my issue was I'm telling the plane to go left, it's not even turning left, it's trying to go right, and it more or less was, you know, I'm trying to pitch the friggin' helicopter, go left, and it still goes right. It just didn't make any goddamn sense. I mean, with the, you know, the rotation and the wash from the helicopter, and the helicopter is hanging out this way, it should have been pushing my helicopter that way, not, hey, I'm going right, hey, I'm going right, fuck!
Boom!
Right into a mountain. You know, that was the one thing that kept on pissing me off about this game.
Basically gave him so much on this game that we decided just to kill him off just by crashing our fucking helicopters into him.
Yes, I had to, it was actually true because of the fact that my Xbox died recently, so I had to come over here and try it out and everything, and I literally had to fucking suicide bomb, you know, slash whatever
kamikaze
into this motherfucker in order to kill the last friggin' unit so it could go fly back if I could make it back. And, well, at least they didn't have to have me land. Otherwise, that would have just been an absolute fucking, you know, ridiculous, hilarious, you know, of trying to go, all right, I'm coming down, I'll fucking turn left again! Why?
Smash!
Yeah, I know. I just took out the other helicopter! Woohoo!
It'd be like that episode of Futurama, one of the recent ones where they make a time machine, but they can only go forward, and they realize that when the universe is over, it restarts again, and then they try to get back to the exact moment when they left. You go, okay, here we go, oh, there, whoops!
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing, I mean, the concept of an actual pilot, you know, they say, when they're flying an Apache, I mean, it's one of the best helicopters that you can fly. But it's still, when you're flying a helicopter, it's like balancing 2,000-ton, you know, vehicle on a fucking, you know, a flagpole with a tennis ball at the end of it. You're trying to fucking keep the thing, you know, from flipping over, basically, because it was just really that fucked up, you know. This one gave it maybe too much realism in that sense. I mean, to fly with the actual, you know, controller is next to impossible. I mean, I was trying to turn down the sensitivity, and the sensitivity went against me because I turned it down too low, and I had to, you have to really tweak the fucking sensitivity.
I did want to talk about another game after that, speaking of realism, but I feel like if you have a game like Apache, you need the actual controllers.
Now, the problem is that the only controllers really known on the Xbox, unless you could find, a USB corded setup for a computer that you can plug into your Xbox, is the one that is the Ace Combat setup that you can get from the Ace Combat 6. You know, as much as I want to buy that game and get the actual controllers, which I would love, but
yeah,
it has the actual throttle setup and the joystick. You know, what the fuck? It's beautiful. But the only problem with this is I'm trying to figure out how the hell you're going to be able to control the helicopter when the fact is that, I mean, you're going to be able to friggin' turn the joystick back and forth with your right hand or something like that in order to get the actual helicopter to spin around.
And on top of that, try to shoot at the same time. Ridiculously hard. It was nearly impossible.
I mean, the concept of people, if they can't walk, talk, and chew bubblegum at the same time, this is not your fucking game. Yeah. I mean, I'm really good at multitasking, but this one was actually just ridiculous on the whole controller setup. So
I agree.
I'm giving it fucking, you know, really bad ratings just because of this. It's fucking horrible.
It's shit. Just total shit.
Anvil, what did you think when you saw the game? You didn't even have to touch it.
I want to run away and hide under a big rock. Because I feel like, you know, this game sets back video games 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were watching old videos of Desert Strike and Jungle Strike. Sega Genesis games that were better than this Apache game.
You know what? I mean, I have to give it on the graphics. The graphics was pretty impressive. Except for some of the terrain graphics that weren't so great. The actual helicopter graphics were fucking gorgeous. But I have to say that there's one game that I probably bet nobody else has played in this room besides me. Is on Pogo. There's Command & Conquer. You know, you could actually play, it's called like Helicopter Strike or something like that. Just look it up on Pogo. And you're able to... Oh, well then, son of a bitch, he played it.
Awesome.
And it's so much better of a game. It's almost like the old style games, and it's gorgeous. You know, you're able to fly the little fucking thing around and blow shit up. This one was just like, yeah, you're going to have to control both, you know, the concept of the helicopter leaning back and forth. I flipped the helicopter. I flipped the fucking helicopter. Yes. I'm so proud of myself.
You basically got to control the top blade and the back blade. That's basically what you got to do. And it's a bitch to try to do that. I want simplicity. We need simplicity back in gaming.
Well, no. I mean, I do like the whole concept that it was trying to give us the realistic, but they just need to work on the actual control, you know, I don't know. It's like the timing was really off on everything that I was trying to do with this game, and it just seemed like it wasn't working properly. So, yeah, I do give it for the actual game play. I mean, the idea of it, but besides the actual controls, that's the worst thing that's on this game. It just, it can't, it's not working for me, so I have to give it a low fucking thing. I'll give it a respectable 2, because the graphics were good, but as the game itself for the fucking thing, 1 for Anzo?
0.
0. I'll give it a respectable 2-1-0.
So, son of a bitch, vote.
You motherfuckers, 2-1-0.
So as a group vote, it gets a 1, because it's average.
Yeah.
3 points divided by 3 is 1.
Yeah. Now I do want
to do math. Yay, go Anvil.
I do want to talk realism in regards to another game that we were trying. Formula One 2010. This is from the guys who did a lot of our other favorite racing games. The dudes, Codemasters.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get even out of practice mode. It was that frustrating for me to control this game. Like, you physically need to have the whole arcade set up to play this game properly. You need the wheel, you need the pedals, in order to feel like you're actually getting something done right in this game.
Well, that's the thing with you. It's just I've been used to actually, you know, riding along with the controller and everything like that since Grid, how Codemasters did Grid, and then they did Dirt. And Dirt 2. It's just more or less I'm comfortable with that, and I did order a wheel, but of course the wheel was totally fucked up, and of course I had to send it back, and Xbox fucked up yet again, and they didn't send me all the shit back, so I've got a fucking worthless wheel, basically. Thank you a lot, Xbox, motherfucker. So more or less with that, I have to say the game is good. I didn't get to try it all that much because my Xbox died, you motherfuckers! Anyways, the Xbox dying on me was just not a good day for me.
Yeah.
I wish I had the fucking bonk stick.
What was it, E73 error?
Yeah, E73 or whatever the fuck it was. It was just a fucking sad day. So more or less with that one, I dealt with the whole fact that it seemed that when I was playing the game, it felt like Need for Speed shit. I mean, Shift. Yes, Shift. Because of the fact that now they seem to be designing the games with these arrows that tell you how to go into a fucking turn. Now, I'm sorry. If you haven't played a racing game before, you know to slow the fuck down into a turn. And then you speed the hell up when you come out of it. It's friggin' common knowledge when you're racing or even driving a car. I mean, especially when you're coming around trying to drive around shit. Yes, there you go. Bingo. Yep, speed off. That's it. That's all you have to do. Otherwise, you go off into the fucking, you know, corner from where you're turning at. It's just how fucking stupid you have to be. Because when I was doing the practice part, I was holding down the trigger as hard as I could. And I was going into the arrows. And this was on easy mode just because I wanted to see how it was on graphics and everything like that.
Yeah.
And it slowed me down personally. And then it had me go through. It was like all I had to do was control it and just hold down the trigger. That was it. It pissed me the fuck off for that aspect of it. But if I was able to play the actual physical game, I bet I would be doing a hell of a lot better. I mean, I'm hoping that they're going to come out with a Grid 2 sometime soon and not do that aspect to the game. But more or less, they're going to be working on Dirt 3 before they do Grid ever again. But I have to say that F1 is great. Graphics, you know, seeing that I saw the trailer and a lot of the stuff was being worked on, so the trailer graphics made me want to puke. But when I finally got to see the actual graphics on my TV and play it straight out, it was a hell of a lot better. Oh, yeah, see? Tom got it right. I was talking about the whole suicide bombing.
Yeah.
There was these little fucking terrorist guys on the Emperor Battle for Doom.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go, Ala Kaiva! And then, boom! Yeah, that's what I fucking did to those goddamn vehicles in order to pass by that fucking thing. It was ridiculous.
Yep. Race Driver Grid 2 is now in works.
Oh, great. Grid 2 will be up and running because that's another great game. It gave you the aspect of just street racing to drifting, to everything. They gave you everything. It was just an awesome game all around. But this game, I have to, you know, I'm still kind of a little bit wary with it, so I might give it 3.5 to 4 right now as of not completely playing it, but when I get a chance to complete anything, I'll
give it like a 2.5 for here. Because I'm still...
Aren't you happy-go-lucky today? Jesus!
Hey, yeah, I mean, happy-go-lucky talking about the Dresden Dolls and Emperor Norton's Stationary Marching Band.
Don't make me come over there! Anyways, it's one of those games that it could have been a lot better. with the actual, you know, easy mode. I feel like when you're easy mode, yeah, give them a little bit easier with the setup of how to turn or turn into corners. Not actually give them the fucking corner. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, with that said, what else do we got here?
That's about it.
I think we're good. We're going to be sticking a fork in us.
Yeah.
You. I'm tired.
Yeah. We are going to need that extra hour of sleep.
Yes, we will.
Okay, let us stick a fork in it, unless there's anything that Anvil wants to add.
Oh, God damn it, not again. Stop assaulting people. Bad Anvil. All right, let's get this over with.
Remember, check out our website at BostonBashBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. And if you have any questions, comments, or requests for things for us to talk about, you can reach us at our email address at TheBastards@BostonBastardBrigade.com.
We're also on MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade. We're also on the Facebook, so take a look on the group sections for the Boston. Basically, just type in Boston, it should pop up. You'll see, you know, our red little symbol with the setup. It's really fucking cool.
And don't forget our sisters at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI. We're there also to check out Geekagro. And keep watching our website. Very soon we're going to have up the information for our charity concert.
Yeah, we got the talk started finally.
Yes. We chatted with our good buddy Pink Taco. We're going to try to get, like, bands together.
We're trying to see if we can get a whole kind of thing to go, you know, $5 to $10 maybe to go to and get, like, a buy a ticket to come here to the place that we get set up and, you know, everybody have a good time. Hopefully there will be drinks, security, whatever else, you know, to protect the people.
Right. Yes.
So pretty soon, you know, we should have the information on a concert for you.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's it.
I think that's it. All right.
Oh, wait. We have to mention Love Sack.
Fine.
We love you guys at Love Sack.
Yeah, Love Sack in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we put it, well, Balonic wrote an article for it.
Hi-yo!
And he wants to get the moon pit set up.
Yes, I do want to get the moon pit set up. And okay. Hopefully I'll have a new job within the next couple weeks, so.
Now, Chris, you hear that? You want...
Moon pit!
Hook some brothers up.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Alright, well, let's end this up.
Okay, so until next time, this is King Media.
This is Warnock.
This is Anvil.
Saying sign our bitches.
We are the bastards.
I have glaucoma.
You